it was a Friday night. We were actually, he and I were looking for a house for our family, so we were ahead of the rest of our family. But we went to a Friday night service, and there was a young man preaching. He had just got back from Africa. Many of you know him, Chris Overstreet. And so I'm listening to this young man preach, and so I was looking down my vineyard nose at this young man because he was so fiery. He was fired up, and he was excited and passionate and preaching powerfully, and he was excited about the things that God had done in Africa. And I was sitting there in my seat, and I was judging him. And I didn't even know that I was doing this, but I was judging him and just thought, you know, he was, you know, trying to be showy. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me right in that moment, and he said, he has what you need. Wow. That kind of set me back a bit. And I just tried to start repenting. I was still kind of a little offended, but I was trying to repent and open my heart. And God is so amazing, because then a month later, here I am in the school of ministry, starting the school of ministry. And who is my revival group pastor? Chris Overstreet. And it was amazing. It was awesome. And that whole year, he was my revival group pastor. He was my pastor. And the Lord was putting deposits in me, a passion and a love for the lost, for those that don't know Jesus. He was depositing. He was using the grace that was on Chris Overstreet, that is on Chris Overstreet, and depositing that in me. It was an amazing year, and it changed my life forever. But what was also then amazing is that as we left two years later, when we left the school of ministry, the Lord sent us to Indiana, and he placed me under a senior pastor who was an evangelist, another evangelist. And he just kept putting this deposit in me of this passionate love for those that don't know Jesus. Now, how many know there is a huge harvest that is out there? I don't know if you guys, are the slides working? Okay. All right. Awesome. It's working. How many know there is a harvest of souls out there? We're going to look at a passage that Jesus talked about. But excuse me. But there is a harvest that's out there. There are so many people that are hungry, that are hurting. They're desperate for Jesus. They just don't know that Jesus is the answer. And I really believe that the harvest is here now. You know, how many watched the Super Bowl on Super Bowl Sunday? Chiefs won. I'm not a Chiefs fan, but I was that Sunday. And here's why, is because I read this, somebody sent me this post that Sean Boltz had made on Facebook, and he had talked about how at least 10 times Bob Jones, and I don't know if you've never heard of who Bob Jones has passed on, he's with the Lord now, but he was a prophet, he was a prophetic voice that was very powerful, very used by God, had a really accurate gift that he heard from the Lord. And he said, he must have told Sean Boltz at least 10 times that when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, that revival is about to break out. And so the first time in 50 years, the Chiefs, Kansas City Chiefs, went to the Super Bowl, and they won, as you know. And so I believe that we are on the brink right now of the greatest revival in human history, that we are going to see over the next decade and probably several decades. We're going to see such an incredible harvest like we have never seen in human history. And I believe that the church needs to posture. We as the church, we're in a partnership with Jesus. Amen? We're in a partnership with the Holy Spirit in the work that he's doing. And there is a great harvest that is out there waiting. Excuse me. to be harvested. So let's look at John chapter 4. And just before I read this, let me just set the context, because I'm not going to read the whole section. This is the passage where Jesus meets the woman at the well. You guys, probably most of us, are familiar with that story. Jesus is on his way from Judea, back to Galilee, and he has to travel through Samaria. And so he stops at this town, and Jacob's well is there, and he's tired from the, from the journey. So he stops by the well while the disciples go into the town to buy food. And so he's there sitting by the well, and of course Jesus is waiting for the divine appointment that he has set up for this woman. And this woman comes out, and she's drawing water, and they have this conversation. You guys know the story, but they have this amazing conversation, and Jesus tells her, he says, they're having this, he's creating curiosity. We're going to talk about that in a later message, but he's creating curiosity with this woman, and they have this conversation, and then he tells her, go bring your husband and come back, because, he's got this living water that she can have. And she says, I have no husband. And he says to her, you're right, you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, but the man that you're living with now isn't your husband. Now, this is amazing because he is a rabbi, and he's talking with a Samaritan woman. We could go into the context of that and the significance of that, but I don't want to spend time on that. But it's an amazing situation. He doesn't have any condemnation. He doesn't have any judgment towards her. All he has is acceptance and love. And she is rocked to the core. And so let's just pick this up here in John 4, verse 27. It says, just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Let's pause there just for a second. There's a challenge right here in this verse. For all of us, the nutrition, the sustenance, the life that Jesus walked in, he knew came from the Father. And for you and I, we have that choice of doing the Father's will, of accomplishing, doing his purpose, partnering with Jesus, that our nourishment, that our very life, that our sustenance comes from him. And so Jesus said that he said this, this cryptic statement, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Now, how many know Jesus wasn't talking about physical eyes in this moment, right? You say, hey, the harvest, the physical harvest, it's 4 months off, but he's saying, open your eyes. And Paul talks about the eyes of our heart in Ephesians, how the eyes of our heart, he had this prayer, that the eyes of our heart, our spiritual eyes, could be enlightened so that we can see things in the spirit realm that we can't see in the natural. All of us need our spiritual eyes to be opened. At times, we need our eyes, the eyes of our heart open so that we can tune in to what the Holy Spirit is doing, to what God's doing on the earth. Why don't you say this? Jesus, open the eyes of my heart. Yeah. All of us need the eyes of our heart open so that we can see the things that God has for us to see, so that we can partner with him. Now, let's read the rest of the story. So we're going to skip down to verse 39, and it says this, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Verse 40, so when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." You know, there are many people who are waiting to hear about your experience with Jesus. Every single one of us, if you have invited Christ into your life, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you have a story worth telling. You have a story worth sharing about your experience, your encounter with the love, the radical love of an amazing Father and His Son came and paid the ultimate price for each one of us. Each one of us has a testimony. We have a story to share. And when we share that story, other people will hear that, and it can create curiosity, and then they can have their own encounter with Jesus to know He is the Savior of the world. Amen? So I believe that there are a number of barriers for us sharing the gospel, but I'm just going to talk about these three barriers, and this came from InterVarsity. But I've been guilty of every single one of these, and maybe most of us have at some time, different times in our lives. But the first one, not aware of those around us. You know, it's similar to like the disciples in the story, how they needed their eyes of their heart open to see the harvest that's around us. For all of us, we need to tune in to where God is moving and the people around us that don't know Jesus. And then to have relationships with people, to know people, to have friendships with people who don't know Jesus. I'm going to butcher the statistic, so I'm just going to make one up, but I'll confess it to you. But it's something like this. I heard this, and that it is like within 3 years, I think it's 3 years, when somebody becoming a Christian, I think it's 85, 90%, something like that, of their friends are all Christian within 3 years. Most people who, when they accept Christ, of course, their friend group, their peer group, it shifts, and then they no longer have non-Christian friends. Now, this is a problem, because the church, as a church, well, Jesus called us to be salt and light, right? Light isn't needed where there's lots of light. Light is needed where there's darkness. Salt is needed where there's unsalty places. We are needed. We need to. I'm not talking about changing, you know, where we have our fellowship in terms of where we draw our life and the deep connections that we have through, you know, through having fellowship with other believers. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about being intentional and having relationships with people who don't know Jesus. You know, this is something I just want to challenge us as a church. For me, I'm like, Jesus, I've been crying out to the Lord. I'm like, God, I don't have any non-Christian friends. Even my non-Christian neighbor, they moved away, and the people who bought their house are Christians. And so we're happy to have great neighbors. It was wonderful. But, you know, Carolee and I find ourselves all the time where we're like, oh, well, we love you. You're a Christian. But where's the non-Christian? We want to know, where are the people that don't know Jesus that the Lord can use to express His love to? Amen? Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's a good word right there. I'm going to preach to myself here. Okay, number two, we're busy. I mean, we live in a society, we live in a culture that's uber busy, right? And I don't know, I don't know how much of the time what we're busy about is meaningful in the light of eternity. You know, I preached a message a few, I guess it was a month ago or maybe, but I did some research. It's when I lean. Is that what happens? No more leaning. Thank you, Josiah. So, and I did this little study of how much screen time, how much time we're on our phones, on our screens, and it was staggering. In just typical American culture, the amount of time that we're on our screens. And so I think, you know, for all of us, it's really important to identify in that message. I talked about the fact that we need to have core values, that we need to identify, all of us have core values, but have we identified what those are? And are we aligning our lives to our core values? The point is what? That we're busy. We live in a culture that's really busy. But the question we need to ask ourselves is, are we busy about the right things? Are we busy about the things that matter the most to God and to us? So is it a high enough priority? I'm going to be kind of poking at this. And then number three, I think sometimes it's easy for us to just fall into the fear of offending or making a mistake or being pushy. I did a little bit of research. Barna did some research, the Barna organization, if you've ever heard of it. And, excuse me. And I printed this out and meant to bring it, and I left it on my printer, and I'm remembering, realizing that right now. So I'm going to make up some more statistics. So it was something like this that, and I'll just use the millennials because that's what I can remember, but it was like 87% of millennials, and it was a higher percentage of Gen Xers, which is me, and the boomers, had a higher percentage. I think it was actually higher for millennials too, but I don't want to exaggerate this. But it was something like 87% of Christian millennial Christians believe that Jesus is the best thing. Finding Jesus, finding a relationship with Jesus is the best thing that can ever happen to anyone. But now this statistic I remember. But 47%, almost half of all millennial Christian millennials, believe that you shouldn't proselytize or try to convert. So now that's an interesting statistic. Wow. Yeah. Because, and there's a conflict there. Like 80, 90% believe that Jesus is the best thing that can ever happen to somebody, but almost half feel like you shouldn't proselytize. Why? Because there's something in our culture. Our culture has a stigma about, you know, shoving our belief systems on somebody else. You know, as Christians, I mean, I think we've been guilty, the church has been guilty of not doing evangelism the way Jesus did. And for turning people off. But we've got to overcome that hurdle, right? We can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So I want us to take a minute here and do a little neighbor nudge. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to converse with each other. Just take a minute. I'm going to time us. So what are some of your concerns or questions regarding sharing your faith? Just take a moment with another person, two people, and I'm going to time this. I'm going to give you each a minute to share. Ready? Go. Can make sure the next person gets to share. All right, why don't you wrap up your conversations? So, as a church, you know, I just believe that we are, we're going to get good at sharing the good news. We have good news. How many know? We have good news, right?
Yes.
You know, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't good news. So, I want us to look at, I'm going to go through this pretty quickly, but I want us to look at a parable that Jesus gave. And sorry, I have to cough. I am recovering from a nasty cough. I'm healed. Amen. So Mark 4, 26 through 29, oops, don't lean, says, he also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." Okay, so let me ask this question. What did the farmer do? We're just going to go through this pretty quickly. He planted seed. Then what did he do? He waited. And if he was a Christian, he prayed. You know, I mean, okay, Christian farmer. Farmers pray, don't they? If you're a Christian, I'm sure Kenny says yes. So this text doesn't tell us that, but let's just assume that he prayed. He waited and prayed. And then what else did he do? He had to discern the condition of the crop. Like, you know, okay, it's a blade, it's coming up out of the ground. Oh, there's a head forming, and then it, you know, it becomes ripe, and now it's ready for harvest. Like, he has to discern the condition of the crop, and then what? And then harvest. And so, you know, as we kind of compare this parable that Jesus gave to our journey in bringing in the harvest, what is it that we do? Well, you know, we meet people, and if you are, you know, if we're tuned in to the Holy Spirit, if we're letting our light shine, then there is a seed that is getting planted. If we're partnering with the Holy Spirit, then as we meet people and we partner with Him, then there's a seed that's planted. And then what? Prayer and intercession, right? Praying for those that the Lord has put on our heart, that are in our lives, that He's put on our heart. And then also discerning where that person's at, where they are, and they're in this, in what God is doing, what the Holy Spirit is doing in their life, us discerning that and tuning in and partnering with that, and then inviting them to follow Jesus. So I want us to watch a video that it's a 3 or 4 minute video that InterVarsity put together, and they showed us at the Alpha Conference, and it talks about the 5 thresholds of faith, kind of going back to that fourth step there of discerning where somebody's at, where they're at in their journey of faith, and then being able to partner with the Holy Spirit in that. So are we ready? Do we have the video? Or can we... Yes. So thankful for these guys. Righty. Isn't that awesome?
So
helpful. So here's what I want us to do is I want us to do a little neighbor nudge again. So take a moment and nudge your neighbor. And then share, I want you to take a minute each to share how did you move towards faith in your own journey. Okay? So take a moment. Go ahead. I'm going to time you. Okay, make sure the other person gets to share. All right, why don't you wrap up your conversations? Okay, so the reason I'm having you do this exercise is because if anyone is like me, like, you know, I accepted Christ at the age of 4. So I found it really hard for me to share my journey of faith. Like, I'm like, I kind of grew up in this. I mean, I remember the moment I accepted Jesus as my Savior. It was very real. I had a real encounter with Jesus, and I can share that. And I have other parts that I share. But for me, it was really tough to figure out, like, what's my journey? How do I share how God has changed my life with somebody who doesn't know, who hasn't had an encounter with Jesus? And so having this time, having, you know, to think it through and to have a little exercise where we're like, my journey of faith, being able to put that into words is important, that we can share with somebody, because it really comes down to our the story of our encounter with Jesus, with the love of Jesus, and sharing that with other people is how other people become curious and they can come to faith, right? Can you say amen? So we're going to do one more little neighbor nudge. So I want you to think of two non-Christian friends, or acquaintances, or somebody that you know. I want you to think of two, and I want you to think, like, what's the next step? Like, what's the next step with this person? Do I need to, like, build trust, or how can I build trust? Or they trust me, and now it's curiosity, or whatever it is. I want you to think that, and go ahead and share with each other. Take another moment to share. Okay. I'm making you guys work today, this morning. Okay, now just take a few moments to pray for those. Go ahead and kind of wrap those stories up, and then just take a moment to pray for whoever it is that you've identified. I'm just going to join my prayers to yours. And Lord, we pray for every person right now who you've identified in our hearts and minds that that you're working, Lord, that you're knocking on the door of their heart. Lord, we pray right now, Jesus, that you would touch hearts, that you would prepare the soil there, the heart of each person in our lives, God, that we can partner with you, Holy Spirit, in bringing the good news of Jesus to that person. So, Lord, we pray, Jesus, you would change hearts, you would set people free, and you would make people hungry, curious, and seeking after you. Use us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to share a couple of things as takeaways as I wrap this up. You know, what's more important to me is not that I entertain you with a powerful message, but that we are equipped to do the things that Jesus said to do, right? So I want us to take, we're going to take a few weeks and just kind of delve into this. But, you know, there is a great harvest. There's a harvest of souls. People are desperate for truth, they're desperate for life, they're desperate for love, they're desperate for answers, they're desperate for healing and wholeness. There is a desperate cry out there that needs the church to wake up and answer. Can you say amen to that? You know, there is a great harvest out there. And so I want us to just be partnering with the Holy Spirit on that. And then sharing our faith. You know, it isn't binary. It's not on and off. People are in a journey of faith. They're in a journey of coming. It's a process, right? You know, people coming to faith, usually it's not just like, okay, I'm going to, you know, how many have ever had like a pushy salesman, you know, come to you and they try to, you know, sell you something right in the moment. You're like, man, that's the last thing I want, right? You know, we don't need to be that way. And the church isn't that. And Jesus never was that way. He even says, I stand at the door and knock. And so so sharing our faith isn't binary. It's not on and off. It's a process. It's a faith journey, and it's a process. And we need to get good at discerning where people are at, where they are in their journey. You know, is right now, it's like, oh, I just met you. Let's build trust. Or how can I create curiosity? Or whatever it is. And then I want to just mention a couple of things that I would ask for all of us to be praying into, and then also how invite you to be a part of, participate in. And so the first one is the How to Life event, March 13th, Friday night, March 13th, here in this auditorium. There is the high school students from across this valley are putting on this event called How to Life, and it's evangelistic. It's completely run. There will be no non-students on this stage. It is completely run, organized by students, and it is designed, to reach high school students or students, young people, with the gospel, with the good news. So we need to be praying into this, and the Lord just created this connection with these gals. It was amazing. We were running our last Alpha course, and we just had struck up this friendship. And we want to partner with them, and they've invited us to man the ministry time, which will happen in the quad classrooms over here that we use for the kids for this service. We will be, I think we're going to be leading the ministry time that's going to happen in there. So I want to invite, we're going to need people to be a part of that. I'm sure it's going to be an awesome and amazing time. But I would ask that all of us would be praying into that. And then lastly, our Alpha course, as many of you, most of you know, we love to run Alpha, the Alpha course. If you're not familiar with it, it's an amazing course. It's a one description is a practical introduction to the Christian faith. It's a place where people can come that have no exposure, no experience with Jesus or with faith or with Christianity. They can come, have a meal, a free meal, watch an amazing talk, and then have a discussion that is open, non-judgmental, non-threatening. We like to say that we give heresy a welcome seat at the table because we love people to come with their questions. People have questions, right? They have obstacles, they have questions, and so our Alpha is a place where people can bring those questions. They can present their perspective. There's discussion. Our whole goal and perspective is not to win the argument, but to win the person. And so when people come, we invite them to just have those discussions. We're not threatened by their perspective. We don't argue. There's none of that. It's just a safe place for people to explore. And if they make a connection, what happens is they come back. And then they hear the gospel again. And it keeps happening. And there's a relationship that's built and trust. And it's amazing. And millions of people, I'm about to make up another statistics, but millions of people have been through the Alpha course. I think it's like 26 million, something like that, have been through it and have been impacted by that. So our next Alpha launch party is March 18th, Wednesday night. We're running these at Coulter Coffee in the basement. And so I would ask for you to be praying into that. I also want to ask you to be thinking of who you could invite to our Alpha launch party. It's going to be awesome. We've had live music there. The last two, we want to have live music there. Non-churchy, non-Christianese, just a party. And then we will show a talk that addresses the question, is there more to life than this? And we'll have a free meal, have a talk, have a discussion. It's an introduction. And if people want to keep continue and come back to the Alpha, they can. So, amen? I'm done. Yay. Let's just pray together. So, Father, we desire to partner with you, Holy Spirit. We desire to partner with you in reaching this valley for the kingdom of God. Lord, we say, your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, that you would use us to so gently, so beautifully, so winsomely love people and share the good news in such a way that it's not pushy. It's not that we are able to do what you did, Jesus, and being winsome and creating curiosity and causing conversations and inviting people. And Lord, we just believe that there is a great harvest that we're going to see across our valley. We just declare revival. Can you say revival? We declare revival across our valley in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right. Bless you. Have a wonderful week. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. If you need prayer, ministry team, if you guys would come on up front. And if you need prayer, just encourage you to come and get prayer. Bless you. Amen.